Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with the People's Climate March in D.C. coming up this Saturday, let's revisit the Dakota Access Pipeline, which drew thousands of people from all over the country to Cannonball, North Dakota, to protest the construction of a pipeline that could contaminate the drinking water for the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. After weeks of protests, the Army Corps of Engineers temporarily halted construction of the pipeline. But as you may know, the plan was reinstated in February after the Trump administration approved the final permit needed for the Dakota Access Pipeline, one of Trump's actions, for the record, in the first 100 days that hasn't gotten a lot of notice, even as other things have gotten more press, but has big implications. There's also something going on right now. The president is signing an executive order having to do with federal lands, and we will ask our next guest, Winona LaDuke, for a reaction to that, too. She is here in New York today, the longtime Native American activist, executive director of the group Honor the Earth, Ralph Nader's running mate in 2000, and author of six books, including Recovering the Sacred, The Power of Naming and Claiming. She spent much of 2016 at the Red Warrior Camp in Standing Rock. Winona LaDuke, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you so much.
Hello there. Thank you.
Is this relevant, what's happening right now at the White House, to Native lands and Native peoples? The president is signing an executive order ordering a review of the status of tens of thousands of acres of federally protected public lands, a controversial move likely to draw fire from environmental groups and others, as NBC News is describing it right now. Are you familiar with this? I'm jumping right in on the news here without warning to you.
I have to say that the abomination of the Trump administration each day brings me new problems to look at. And, I had heard that this was underway. I'm from a reservation in northern Minnesota. We are facing what is now looks to be a 915,000 barrel per day pipeline proposed to come from Canada. I'm looking at a lot of things that Trump is trying to push forward and saying, wow, that's another really bad idea. But obviously, what the protection, any environmental protection of federal protected, BLM lands, parks, tribal lands and trust status, the removal of those protections and opening it all up for more exploitation by corporations is a bad idea.
This, and just reading a little more from this NBC News report, focuses on the past 20 years of national monument designation outlined in the Antiquities Act and spanning more than 100,000 acres. In the crosshairs is the controversial Bears Ears National Monument. President Obama had designated this as a national monument. It's in Utah, 1.3 million acres of land, and will be the central focus of this interim review. Republican critics of Bears Ears have called for the federal designation to be rescinded and for the land to be given back to the state of Utah. So that's going on right now. What's going on with Standing Rock?
Yeah, I do want to say that Bears Ears was a long-fought, tribal designation. And we do, feel like that, at some point, indigenous people certainly know, the most sacred of our sites and the protection of those. Every tribe in the Southwest, indigenous nations led that and asked that that should be designated. And so it is so tragic. All of its behavior is so tragic. So, let me just kind of give a little bit of a background, which I know that you have, but, there are a number of pipelines we're looking at. The big battle this last year has been over the Dakota Access Pipeline, Energy Transfer Partners. And, what I'm looking at now is a couple of things. I'm not actually sure that there's oil going in those pipes. And I say that for a couple of reasons, because, as of last year, 2016, there was about 900,000 barrels of oil produced per day in North Dakota. And that was prior to the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Bakken oil fields have busted. Man camps are emptying. And there's an 85% drop in drilling rigs. And so they built a pipeline with kind of like a pipeline from nowhere is what I would kind of call it. And then so they put in the pipeline. And then Lynn Helms, the North Dakota Commissioner of Mines, announces that in 2017 there will be 900,000 barrels of oil produced in the Bakken oil fields, and announces that in 2019... 2 years from now, they predict that there will be 900,000 barrels of oil coming out of the Bakken oil field. So I'm trying to figure out why they need a 570,000 barrel per day pipeline. And a lot of it, you know, to me is about excess, and a lot more of it is about spite and hatred and just the let me shove that down your throat, you know, people, and let me take a lot of casualties and, you know, shoot a lot of rubber bullets and involve a lot of police and tanks and arrest 840 people and, you know, charge those people with everything, you know, from felonies to misdemeanors and try to make an example out of you. And I think that the example of, you know, North Dakota is a bad example for civil society because North Dakota, we call that place the Deep North. Mm-hmm. It's been like that for a long time. And, you know, pretty much as far as I can figure, the sheriff, Kyle Kirschmeier from Morton County, is pretty much Bull Connor. It's the same thing. And, you know, we need to not tolerate that in civil society. And the criminalization of First Amendment rights and the injuries sustained by our people, you know, entirely unethical. So, you know, I'm here to defend some water protectors.
So there's the Deep South in this country, and there's the Deep North. Is the legal fight over? Is the protest on site permanently over?
I don't think the protest on site is permanently over. What I'm saying is that, you know, so, I mean, they, you know, from what we know, they have a pipeline that is through. It's not clear there's either any oil in it or that they're actually completely finished. You know, I pretty much, you know, myself morally, I hope that they choke on their greed, but that's, like, not a legal point. So, you know, having said that, Standing Rock still needs justice. I mean, you know, I'm not from Standing Rock. I'm from a reservation a little bit east of there, but I've worked with the Standing Rock tribe. And what I'll tell you is that, you know, their clinic, their hospital is 50 years old. And the road that was blocked, because it was so important to block it by Morton County and the federal authorities, 1806, is a road that doesn't even have a shoulder on it. You know, I'm saying that Standing Rock needs some justice. And the $3.9 billion that was spent on that pipeline, you know, would have been far better spent on, you know, we did a little math and figured out you could get 161,000 solar panels for houses, you know, in North Dakota and 323 2-megawatt wind turbines, you know, some other loose change of cool stuff that would be really energy security. So to me, it's this question of, you know, what does energy security mean in the United States and in North America? You know, and as I look at the big picture of the unenlightened Trump administration, you know, I mean, Obama was slightly better, but the fact is that oil companies have, you know, have far too much power, and their vision of where we're going in a time of climate catastrophe is, you know, is the wrong vision. That's why there's a divestment movement. That's why people are divesting from the Dakota Access Pipeline, banks and institutions, you know, Peribas, the French bank just, you know, announced divestment, Norwegian banks. You know, bank after bank is divesting, you know, from DAPL, Dakota Access. But, you know, in the broader perspective, you know, I'm looking at the fact that, you know, the Trump administration, along with, you know, Justin Trudeau, has approved a set of pipelines in North America, including the KXL, which is kind of like a bad sequel, right? He approves the KXL to come back, Keystone Pipeline. And he also, you know, so he invites TransCanada to reapply for the Keystone XL. He's got the Dakota Access, that's not an import pipeline. But then you have, I'm facing in Minnesota, Line 3, an Enbridge pipeline, 915,000 barrels a day. Enbridge Line 3, largest pipeline company in North America. And then Trudeau...
Is that also bringing things from Canada?
Right. The tar sands pipelines that are approved between Canada and the United States, Canada approved the Line 3 at the National Energy Board in Canada, although that is being contested. Line 3 is the 915,000 barrels a day of oil coming towards the United States, which would cross my territory, northern Minnesota, where we already have six really old pipes that are 50 years old. You know, one of them is 56, and I'm 57. So pipes that should be replaced. They were put in before the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act. You know, part of the infrastructure in this country, which is crumbling, is pipelines. And instead of fixing those lines or fixing infrastructure, what Trump and Trudeau are trying to do is put in new lines. And so you got Line 3, 915,000 barrels a day. You have something known as Trans Mountain Pipeline, which is another, I think it's like 400,000 barrels a day. And then they have another one approved up in Canada, which is Energy East. And so the combination of pipelines that have been approved by the Trump and Trudeau administrations, two separate things, are in excess of the amount of oil that they project to produce out of Canada. That's the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers.
We have to take a break for just a second, and then we'll continue with Winona LaDuc. We can take a few phone calls for her at 212-433-WNYC. And now you have a better idea, folks, of kind of the extent of U.S.-Canada pipeline production plans as they, you know, they kind of make the news one at a time here as if they're isolated things, Keystone XL and then Dakota Access. And we just heard, I think, a little bit of the big picture. 212-433-WNYC. And also the reason that Winona LaDuc is in New York today is she's going to give a lecture that I gather is open to the public at the Union Theological Seminary at 6:30. That's the 7th Annual Judith Davidson Moyers Women of Spirit Lecture at Union Theological Seminary, 6:30 this evening. But we'll continue with her right here, right after this. WNYC with Winona LaDuc. And by the way, the executive order that the president signed just a few minutes ago on a review of decades of designations of national monuments with the possibility of returning them to the states, those parcels of land, including the controversial Bear's Ears in Utah, which Obama designated, which is over a million acres and which seems to be the immediate focal point of the Trump order. For a little more context on how that ties into what Winona LaDuc was just laying out about pipelines, from the NBC News website, it says the fear on the part of some environmentalists and administration critics regarding the review is that it could be a step toward rescinding or altering their designation as federally protected monuments, including possibly reducing the size of the protected lands, and that it could open up the territories to exploitation by the oil and gas industries. So there it comes back to oil and gas. Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Winona LaDuc. Hello.
Hi, I'm glad to have a chance to talk to you. And Brian, you just repeated about the Republicans wanting the national monuments to be returned to the states. Well, if they want to return things, how about returning them sort of back to the native nations that they belong to in the first place?
You could get in on that while you're returning things line, I guess, if you want, Ms.
LaDuc. That's a really good point. I think I'd just write that guy a note and say, you know, we just think that the return is to the wrong entities. It should be to, you know, the Diné, the Navajo Nation, the Utes, and the, you know, that's a really good thing. I think I should just send that guy a memo because obviously very little historical knowledge, you know, probably never been out there, you know, so.
A friend of the court brief. We like the idea, but just keep going. Peter in Westport, the argument for pipelines. Peter, thank you for engaging. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I joined the program just a moment ago, but, you know, there's certainly a lot of talk around pipelines and their environmental impact detrimentally, but I think we need to keep in mind that the oil's going to get to where it needs to get to, and if it doesn't get there via pipeline, going to get there via truck and rail, and these are dangerous, environmentally unfriendly ways to transport oil.
There have been some relatively progressive people who have made that argument, Winona, that the oil is going to go where people want to buy it, and pipelines are more environmentally friendly than a lot of trains or a lot of trucks. What do you think?
Well, a couple things. One is that a lot of oil moves on trains because there isn't a pipeline that way. And none of these pipelines, whether it's the Dakota Access Pipeline or Line 3, will replace train traffic. That's like that's falsely represented by the industry because the destination of the pipeline is not the same place as the destination of the rail. Also, rails are a multi-use purpose. You know, I'm a big proponent of the rails. I just like to see rails filled with people, not toxic things. You know, I also think that, like, in a state like Minnesota, which already has six pipelines that are all in, you know, according to Enbridge itself, in a state of deterioration. That's what line three is referred to as a state of deterioration. They should be cleaning up all the old pipelines that are in this country. They're blowing up. I mean, you got in Manhattan, all over this, you know, all over this country, you got pipeline leaks. Looks like one a week to me. So instead of building new lines, it's so expensive for a company to clean up an old line. But, you know, I raised all these kids. I feel like you clean up your old mess before you get to make a new mess. And that's what we need to tell, because, you know, the idea of abandoning lines, which is what Enbridge wants to do, is to start abandoning lines and making a new mess, is a super dangerous precedent, because it's not clear who's liable for the line. You know, and that to me is a really big flag for even conservative regulators. And then finally, with all due respect, I have to say that, you know, I had this conversation with a Beltrami County commissioner, northern Minnesota, here a month ago, and he said, you know, Winona, I'd really rather have the, well, you know, if I'm going to have the oil, I'd really rather have it, you know, coming on a pipeline under the ground than on a train. And what I said to him is this, which I'm going to say to you, is that do you want your heroin delivered by train or do you want it delivered by pipe? Because at a certain time, we got to move on. And now, instead of spending billions on infrastructure for oil companies, I'd suggest we spend billions on infrastructure for people to make our systems work.
And that's the other part of the argument against the pipelines. It's not just the immediate damage to particular areas potentially that they traverse. It's also stop building fossil fuels infrastructure to enable us to go more slowly toward the renewable future. Are you involved in the climate march this weekend?
No, I'm not. I'm heading home, but I'm glad that hopefully many hundreds of thousands to a million people will be there, because obviously, you know, I mean, you know, it is quite clear that, you know, even as I look, you know, out there, and I think that last year I was looking at some data from the banks and such. I mean, there's a huge amount of increase in climate change related disasters that are costing a huge amount of money to the insurance agency and all. So we need to, like, address the impact that we are facing now.
Do you think it hurts the cause that the climate march got separated from the science march, which was last Saturday on Earth Day?
I think that's funny. Do I think it hurts the cause? No. I mean, I have to say that, you know, there was a report of a march in downtown Bemidji, the town that I live near, I'm kind of near, and I was like, and everybody thought it was a no Enbridge, no pipeline march, and then it turned out to be a science march. I mean, you know, it's all related. Let's just be honest.
Peter in Westport, thank you for your call, and let's sneak in one more. David in Long Branch, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, Brian, good morning. David from Long Branch. Listen to your show all the time. Two-part question for Ms. LaDuke. By the way, I agree with you, Ms. LaDuke, 100%. Number one, the current production of U.S. Barrels of oil per day, I'm presuming, is approximately 10 million barrels per day. That's what it's been the last year or so.
And, David, forgive me. What's your question? Because we're going to run out of time.
Okay. The question I have, are we still producing that amount, number one? And number two, the pipelines that you just mentioned in the Dakota area, what percentage of that approximate 10 million does that represent?
Well, I mean, to answer the first part of your question, or the second part, 900,000 barrels a day of oil is what Lynn Helm says is coming out of the Bakken, which would be North Dakota oil field. So one-tenth of North American production. And then remember that in spite of all this energy security, North American energy security stuff, they lifted the ban on export of oil. And so 5 million barrels a day is what they are exporting. And so, you know, I'm not really clear, like, how this is all supposed to work out for the Americans. You know, I mean, So that is a little bit of the conundrum that I am in. I, like everybody else, was born, have lived my entire life in the fossil fuel era. What I want is an elegant transition out of it. And that could be done. I just don't want to crash every ecosystem on the way. And that's what I'm going for, is an elegant transition.
Do you have any knowledge, being from that you're from where you're from, or care one way or another about this tariff that Trump slapped on Canada yesterday over logging imports, or is that out of your area?
You know, I did not note that. I noted that, like, I noted that I was very disturbed when there was some challenges, and I'm not sure what it was, on dairy because in our area, you know, particularly Wisconsin, one of the few remaining states that is not California that produces a lot of dairy, and the idea that dairy farms would not be able to sell to Canada, that's a big problem for us. And so, you know, I'm interested in a relocalized economy. I'm interested in a sustainable economy. I'm interested in making sure that, you know, people are healthy and our earth is healthy 50 years from now and 100 years from now after you know, President Trump is long gone.
And that,
you know, so that's what I'm looking at. And our organization, Honor the Earth, you know, if you want more information on a lot of these issues, our organization is called Honor the Earth, and you can find us online.
Executive Director of Honor the Earth is Winona LaDuke. And again, she will be giving the 7th Annual Judith Davidson Moyers Women of Spirit Lecture tonight at 6:30 at the Union Theological Seminary. Thank you so much.
Miigwech. Thank you.